Okay, hi friends, and this is our commentary number 13. If you've noticed that number 12 was not there, you've had to move on. We are fixing that. There's a slight fix, and you'll be able to go back to it. There's not really a problem because we're dealing with just compilation material, and it's not sequential. So you'll be able to recheck 12 when it is available. Now, the etheric web, this is a protective web, begins to be destroyed with fifth and sixth petals, or when the fifth and sixth petals are opening. Okay, where are we here? Okay, here we go. Right. And that is at the time of the preceding the first initiation and then also preceding the second initiation. But by that time, when this opening is occurring, the individual is an aspirant and the fire is burning, the fire is rising, and the barriers between this level of consciousness and other and higher, more sensitive areas of consciousness are being attenuated. So the etheric web separating the lower physical consciousness of the brain from the astral plane begins to undergo a lengthy, note that, process of destruction, and the first rents in the web occur. All right, well, this is from page 864, Cosmic Fire, and let's just say more of the phenomena of the astral plane will be made visible, and maybe even higher phenomena. So the greater sensitivity comes with fire. Fire is the creator of contact because it burns away the barriers between one level of consciousness and another potential level of consciousness. Fire burns away the dross, which prevents one from passing through the door of initiation. So let us not run away from the implications of fire. Master Maurya, has presented Agni Yoga to us, the yoga of fire, and it has its dangers. One must always be cautious when dealing with fire. One must follow the rules, and so many people are in a great rush, and they think that simply by performing certain techniques they can arrive at their hoped for destination. But there's a whole substructure of morality and right process, which substands the entry into the domains where other and more subtle phenomena can be detected. So let's proceed patiently, or as Roberto Saggioli was fond of repeating, let's make haste slowly. It's a typical second ray kind of approach, isn't it? I mean, maybe the first ray likes to, as they say, come in with the door, and uses that ability to sort of crash through obstacles suddenly, animated to do so. But the second ray proceeds without leeway or let up, and relentlessly, as a Master DK tells us. And maybe for the time being, living on a soul planet of the second ray and in a second ray solar system, that is what we have to think about. All right, so the Hall of Wisdom, I think I've mentioned this. Graduation results when initiation is taken. Graduation from all of the phenomena of aspiration and the many, many tests on the path of probation. Graduation results when initiation is taken and the initiate passes into the Hall of Wisdom, that hall of wisdom involving the complete unfoldment of the fifth petal, a significant unfoldment of the sixth, and a reasonable activity in the seventh petal. And in Cosmic Fire, it tells you all about these petals. I wonder if it's basically blah, 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 page 540 somewhere around there in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Yeah, it is. And if we get into the sacrifice petals, petal number 7 tells us the petal of knowledge for the mental plane, and maybe some of us will recognize this. Its unfoldment marks the period wherein man consciously utilizes all he has gained or is gaining under the law for the definite benefit of humanity. In our case, spreading the knowledge of the ageless wisdom. And, you know, it goes on here. The petal of love, eighth petal, on the mental plane is unfolded through the conscious, steady application of all the powers of the soul, not just knowledge, to the service of humanity. And here's the sacrificial aspect, with no thought of return, nor any desire even for reward for the immense sacrifice involved. You know, the law of sacrifice, it has a lot of Scorpio in it, and this is a Scorpionic petal. It's the eighth petal, and Scorpio is the eighth sign. And then finally, the petal of sacrifice, as it's called, for the mental plane, demonstrates the predominant bias of the soul as seen in a series of many lives spent by the initiate prior to his final emancipation. Let's call that the fourth degree, not the third. He becomes, in his sphere, the great sacrifice. Well, there's a lot of sacrifice of the personality as its ancient authority is ended at the third degree, but the full and complete sacrifice of the personality and even of the Temple of Solomon, Egoic Lotus, is not occurring until the fourth degree. So let's keep those things in mind. And yet, you know, they can be accomplished in the same life if one is really intent and fulfills the requirements with the right motive. So, in fact, the second, third, and fourth initiation follow with rapidity. At least the third and fourth follow with rapidity upon the second, whatever that rapidity may be, the same life or maybe the next. Okay. Now let's go on. Here we go. Right. So this is just a little note about little Chela ship. We may have mentioned it. The stage of the they can be related to one or other of the initiations in part. I think the stage of Chela in the aura can be related to the third initiation, and Chela within the master's heart to the fourth, and the blending of the lights even to mastership. And when it comes to Chela in the light and accepted discipleship and Chela on the thread, these are, well, the first two are preparatory, let us say, at first to the second initiation, and the Chela on the thread is preparatory to the third initiation. Anyway, this first stage of discipleship, let me just repeat them. Little Chela ship, Chela in the light, accepted discipleship, Chela on the thread, Chela in the aura, Chela in the master's heart, and finally, he doesn't really talk about it, but a stage he calls the blending of the lights, and that's involving mastership, and is the seventh, actually the seventh stage. He tells us there are six stages, okay, but the seventh stage is kind of mentioned. Okay, this initiation, the first one, is connected with the physical plane, etheric physical plane, and for a very large number of people, as I've several times pointed out, lies far behind. And this, you know, and here we have the all true aspirants who've taken the first initiation, and then I've gone over this before. This has been discussed, right? this has been discussed, but they really want to grow spiritually, and they're interested in the spiritual things, and they love their fellow men, and they serve. They want to have a greater beauty of life, and they study the spiritual or esoteric teaching. These are the kinds of things, requirements that we should have in mind when we assess our own progress and when we assess the progress of others, as sometimes we must do, in not in excruciating detail, but if we want to be of use. Here's something, a statement about that we can distinguish the probationary path from the first initiation. Probationary path can begin in the latter part of the unfoldment of the fifth petal, but the first initiation requires the complete unfoldment of this interior center of force. The petals, after all, can be seen as centers of force, and they do, through their accumulations, enter into the guiding and stimulating the life of the disciple on the physical plane. So what do we have? Increased facility in approaching the path. That's coming, right? And we are trying to contribute to that so people understand what the path really is, and, you know, not some personality-saving, fatuous heaven. I mean, you know, it's what people hope, but that's if they have their thought that they are what they see and that they are the personality. We have to somehow help them disidentify from the personality sphere, and that is difficult at first. Okay, so this increased facility in approaching the path, this will be based on the fact that so many of the then existent humanity, this will come later, I guess. Okay. So many of the then existent humanity, I'm doing my best to make sure, yeah, well, wouldn't you know it, my chronometer gave out. So I'll be doing my best to figure out how much time I've spent. And it won't come out an hour, okay? At that time, you know, later when the Christ reappears and the first initiation is being given on the physical plane, so many of the then existent humanity will have personal knowledge of the ruling powers and forces. They will have hierarchical contact. They will, in fact, be junior members of the hierarchy. Will perhaps be on the probationary path, which is another step beyond simply personal knowledge that these higher beings do exist, or believing that they exist, or will be initiates of the first degree. So here we have three different stages. One is maybe the stage of the average enlightened man, who by that time accepts the idea of the hierarchy and the kind of progress that comes when one follows the hierarchical method. The second is those who are actually being tested or are submitting themselves to the tests of the probationary path. They aspire, and they know they're being tested, and they're willing to be tested. And then finally, after much testing, at the end of the fifth petal, where we actually do relinquish the worst phases of the separative ego, we can take that first initiation. Thus, the present skepticism, he tells us that actually skepticism can be a protection for many members of the human race. They need it at a certain point, and after a period of wild belief in crazy things, we may go through a period of scientific skepticism where we don't believe any of it, and we test everything. And you do see people, you know, on the fifth ray at a certain point who really do that. Thus, the present skepticism will become non-existent. The dangers will then be along other lines, and there's always dangers. We can't avoid it. Those incident to the very influence of this ray itself, the dangers of crystallization into form, so that the true spiritual devotee may become rare and the scientific aspirant will take his place. You kind of wonder, is he talking about the is he talking about the fifth ray? You know, page 454 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Let's just see. Okay, foundation of the new church, etc., along will be the outgrowth. It will have for this basis the scientific recognition. There will be a mental unity. There will be the seventh ray. Seventh ray and fifth ray go along with each other considerably. And the seventh ray may be discussed here. Interesting. The organization of business on lines hitherto undreamt of. Increased mental activity. It sounds like the fifth ray is involved, the seventh ray is involved, and they, even the planet Uranus, as ruler of Aquarius, brings in both of those rays. Probably a seventh ray soul and a fifth ray mind, and maybe a third ray personality for the planet Uranus. It certainly is involved in movements and vibrations, migrations, rather. Okay, well, it's an incoming ray. I think he is talking about the seventh ray, but when he does, the fifth ray comes into it as well. Okay. So, you know, those two rays together can produce a lot of materialism and a lot of form consciousness. Interested in the form, interested in the garment of God, interested in the manifestation of higher powers, but not necessarily in the higher powers themselves. Among some types of human beings, that will result. But there are seventh ray and fifth ray people who really want to investigate the higher worlds, and they will do that, and they will be responsible for many unsuspected discoveries. Well, I seem to have the next reference has come up quite a bit. It's about the blending of the latent fire and the active radiatory fire. And as the fire of spirit finally, when blended with the other two other fires, and the blending commences in man at the first initiation, interesting. It's so important because the etheric body, with all the energies that it carries, has to overcome the instinctual nature of the dense physical body. The spirit, along with the blend of the etheric and physical, will form the basis of spiritual life or existence, certainly on the physical plane or the etheric physical plane. And as evolution proceeds in the fifth or spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of souls, when we enter that and begin to take the initiations, these three fires blaze forth simultaneously, producing the perfected consciousness. I guess he's talking about the destruction of the egoic lotus. Okay, how about that? Of the egoic lotus. I think that's what he's talking about. And the etheric body is involved in that. Many factors, the monad, the power of buddhi, that expansive love that can no longer be held by the structure of the egoic lotus, the atomic triangle itself, and the power of that atomic triangle contributes greatly to the destruction of the egoic lotus. So a number of factors are involved here. Now, I don't think in this life we're going to expect the destruction of the egoic lotus. There are some people walking around who say, hey, I haven't had an egoic lotus for a long time, but, well, you know, the behavior belies the fact. So it's not by making claims that we establish ourselves as an initiate. We don't really care whether we do or not. We get on with the service, and we'll be noted for having established the initiatory consciousness. We won't be claiming it, right? Okay. All right, so the heart center is involved here at the first initiation. We have discussed that somewhat. At the first initiation, that of the birth of the Christ, the heart center is the one usually vivified, and it will be vivified, I suppose, maybe through the touch of the causal body, or perhaps of the chakras themselves. But the initiation is taken within the causal body. Now, what are the exact mechanics of that, and how is the rod of initiation, the rod of the Bodhisattva, at first applied? We just don't know. But certainly, the chakras that have to be stimulated are stimulated, and it may be that petals in the egoic lotus are the object of the various touches, and as a result, the chakras are stimulated. But what those mechanics are, I think we have to leave that to the initiator and maybe to the solar angels who really know how that's done. Anyway, the heart center is usually vivified with the aim in view of the more effective controlling of the astral vehicle and the rendering of greater service to humanity. Let's just say the solar plexus alone will not result in the control of the astral vehicle. The heart center has to be involved, and by the time we reach the second initiation, which is taken on the astral plane, which is the second from below and the sixth from above, that heart center is contributing greatly through Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune to the entrance of love into the astral body in a new and more powerful way. Also, other centers are being vivified. It's not just one thing. The heart center is touched at the first degree. The heart center is, I think, expanded really at every initiation. There's attention to the sacral and the throat in all these initiations, and of the solar plexus in the heart in the second initiation. I guess that we have to be aware of what these centers feel like and the kind of consciousness that results when they are stimulated, and get a good sense of the energy itself rather than just theorizing about it. Okay. Now, the Lemurian initiation, first initiation Lemurian, second initiation Atlantean, third initiation Aryan. Maybe the fourth initiation will be connected with the sixth root race, particularly. That will be a root race, believe it or not, lasting 10 million years, and you're hard pressed to find the Aryan root race lasting that long, although maybe the Aryan root race lasts the least long of the, of the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Maybe there's some kind of curve there which gives us longer initiations in the beginning, shorter in the middle, and then lengthening again, or periods of development. Maybe not initiations, periods of development, let me say. But he does talk about the 10 million year sixth root race. The first recognition of the plane of the emotions of the astral plane was evoked in the consciousness of the groups under preparation for the first initiation, which was the highest initiation possible at that time. And we're talking about, the Lemurian period. And there are still maybe a few of Lemurian consciousness among the majority of humanity. He talks about those people who don't really have the implanting of the spark of the solar angels, and he lists certain groups in Australia and Africa and near Japan and so forth. They did not have that implantation, and they are not the so-called hothouse plants that Blavatsky speaks of. So in the Lemurian consciousness, it's quite instinctual, quite physical, and the desire nature separated from the instinctual nature is not really existing. But later in Atlantis, the desire nature was greatly separated from the instinctual physical nature, and separated in such a way that it became disastrous for humanity. It just became warped and swelled all out of control. I think we have mentioned a number of times that the first initiation precedes accepted discipleship, except when it doesn't. Okay, so there are exceptions, but not many. So if we're going to be an accepted disciple, and you know, it's up to each one of us to find the way of determining that, whether, well, he gives five methods, you know. Some of them have to do with dream experiences, experience in meditation, finally, you know, an actual interview in the Master's Ashram. That is definitely there. I wonder if I can find those, you know, really quickly. It would be in Dina 1, and I don't know. Maybe I can. The disciple. There's lots of it, you know. Accepted discipleship is one of those terms that really is. So do I really find this? So let's see here. There is a vivid dream experience, a symbolic teaching, the use of a thought form of some master. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's only when it is somehow taken for the real thing that it turns bad and misleading. A contact with the master in meditation, and people will have to judge for themselves whether that's the real thing or some sort of thought form. Thought forms are built up by the devotees of the master. They can cause a lot of trouble. And a definite, finally, remembered interview with the master in his ashram. Okay, well, that is, this last one is definitely the stage of accepted discipleship. And then it goes on here to describe these. So here around 7:11, 7:12, 7:13, you can find what you're looking for when it comes to the stages of discipleship. It's probably not too good to get fixated on the stages. It's probably good to just serve with all your intelligence and heart and will, all your might, you know, and let things take their natural course. I think we discussed this already. So the fourth initiation is really the second major initiation, right? And of course the pain of the second initiation, which is sometimes for people on the first and second ray the very hardest to take, or at least on the soft line rays and the first ray, maybe the hardest of all, does not necessarily signal that you're taking the fourth initiation, where there is also anticipated pain but much more knowledge of reality and of the monad, and so it is somewhat ameliorated. So we're familiar with the idea the first solar initiation is the first real initiation, and the major initiations beyond that can only occur when there has been the transfiguration of the personality. Now, in a way, the moon in Aquarius indicates that. Not for everybody that has the moon in Aquarius, of course, but when you're to that point, the moon in Aquarius veils Vulcan on the physical level, physical etheric. The moon in Aquarius veils Neptune on the emotional level, and the moon in Aquarius veils Uranus on the mental level. And when all three of those have done their work in the personality, then we have the transfiguration, purification, elevation of the vibratory states. So, we aim for that. We move forward toward that. What does it say here? The seventh petal opens and four spirilli of the mental unit are fully active. And maybe that's at the first initiation. Maybe that's why I put it here. Here I would point out that there is a slight difference in the case of the mental unit. It has only four spirilli, but if you put it together with the three spirilli of the monastic permanent atom, you get your seven on the mental plane. The four spirilli of the mental unit are aroused to full activity, and when the knowledge petal of the final and see when the knowledge petal of the final three opens. Well, that's going to be the seventh. That's going to be the seventh petal, which is involved in the first initiation, and it opens, but it does not say how fully. Now, my impression about all this is that only that all three of the sacrifice petals complete their opening together. The seventh is most open, the eighth a little less, and when the ninth petal moves towards a complete opening, then the eighth and the seventh as well are open. And then we have for sure the third initiation. What does it say here? The first initiation is within the reach of many. Let's remember that. It's not so low as to be negligible, but it's not so high as to be out of reach. But the necessary one-pointedness, remember how Sagittarius is connected with that first initiation and the second, and the firm belief in the reality ahead. So faith, is the substance of things hoped for and actually the evidence of things unseen. At some point, he says the real saying is that light is the evidence of things hoped for. Excuse me, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. He talks about that faith is a blind for the word light. In any case, faith is quite good enough. It gives us an idea of the attitude that has to be developed here at the time of the first degree. Firm belief in the reality had coupled to a willingness to sacrifice all rather than to turn back, even at the first initiation. And these are deterrents to many. But one-pointedness isn't achieved, there's not a firm belief, and there's not a willingness to sacrifice. So test yourself on these points. How one-pointed are we? Do we have a firm belief in the promised reality ahead? And are we, having put our hand to the plow, insistent on moving forward and shunning all invitations, temptations to turn back and no longer go forward? It's a lot of work. Plowing is a lot of work. And do we say, oh, I just can't handle that? I wonder how many of us, maybe in one life or another, have done that, only to awaken sadder but wiser and realize how we have sacrificed our opportunities to this unwillingness. So we must have one pointedness, pointedness, firm belief, I'll just sort of abbreviate, and willingness to sacrifice, and not just some, but all. And what was it? Costing not less than everything. There's a poem by T.S. Eliot, and I asked one of our members the other day. I think he said it was from the Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot, and he talked about states of realization that cost not less than everything. Everything. Well, I think about sacrificing everything. It eventually becomes the very source of self-becomingness. There's one self, it becomes all things, you know. So when we sacrifice the thing, we don't look for the reality within the thing itself. We look for the reality as that from which the thing arose. So that's, you know, the Vedanta Brahman philosophy, and the Upanishads suggest that, and the whole oneness idea that is forever repeated in India with its first ray soul and its first sign of the zodiac as the soul sign, namely Aries. Now, what's this about the fourth subplane and the entry onto the path? That's, remember, we do, what's as you say, you enter the path at the first initiation. Now, sometimes it's not always so clearly stated, and people who are aspiring and are being tested on the probationary path, they say, well, I'm on the path, I'm on the path. But the masters consider that the path really begins at the first initiation. So this fourth subplane, well, number four is the number of battle, the fourth ray, the ray of conflict, first, anyway, before harmony supervenes. It is the battleground in man, and from this plane he must secure the right to enter the path and procure that control over his lower bodies which will make him a master and not a slave. So the mental unit on the fourth subplane must be important in the control of the lower bodies. And, you know, when we start to access the city called, called what? Spiritual discernment on the third subplane of the mental plane, then we are entering the path. And also, our causal body, or what is that? Causal body, egoic lotus, is moving vibratorily, all right, torally, onto the second subplane. Onto the second subplane, vibratorily. Is there such a word? Well, let's pretend there is. So all of this is beginning our entry into the causal body. And as D.K. tells us in Letters on Occult Meditation, so many of the unsuccessful meditation practices are due to the fact that we cannot focus our consciousness within the causal body, egoic lotus. Now, that's pretty much a pending on the third initiation ability, you know, to actually get into the causal body, into the realm of accumulated virtue, and leave behind all of these personal tendencies, which hopefully have been in process of refinement anyway, but still leave them behind. And then there's a point at which we have to focus buddhically, isn't it, around the fourth initiation, so that we have the willingness to leave behind even the causal body. And to leave behind, what does it mean? It may be destroyed. We don't pay it any attention. Our point of attention is somewhere else. And where there is neglect of attention, things fall apart, as you know. But there are some more violent methods here of getting rid of a causal body, as I say. You know, the power of the monad and of Atma and Buddhi all enter in here. And even the power of the rapidly rotating atomic triangle can turn very destructive. We learn about that. This lower triangle, it severs the connection. You know, we learn about that in esoteric healing. Okay, well, now we looked at this before, and it's a familiar idea we did before. Okay. Examined this before. Okay. BF before. Right, Hall of Wisdom. Are we in the Hall of Wisdom? Well, if we're on even the path of probationary initiation, initiations of the threshold, yes, indeed, we are entering the hall of wisdom. I think there's also something called the hall of life. Maybe we're not quite there yet, but so many of the students of Master DK are, probationary initiates. They have taken the first initiation or really are on the verge of doing so. It's not just a done deal, a fait accompli, oh yeah, all of us have taken the first initiation. It's higher than that. And we really do have to look at the requirements. And of course, one of them is so difficult to fulfill for so many that we love our fellow men. And we discipline our life, okay. And we study a spiritual or occult teaching, okay. But, the old saying, I love humanity, it's just people I have trouble with, some kind of some kind of joke there, but maybe not so much of a joke. Five initiations are taken on the mental plane, and you kind of wonder how. As the planetary locus is only concerned with the final two initiations, which are not compulsory, as are the earlier five. Now, namely, this is six and seven, and there is an unknown existence administers the sixth initiation and the planetary logos the seventh. But it's all the planetary logos in a way, well, it's all one life. Even Sanat Kumara is an extension of the planetary logos, and he's involved with that particular emanation that we call the Lord of the World, is involved with the third, fourth, and fifth, this unknown existence with the sixth, and the planetary logos, I suppose, in a fuller demonstration, is involved with the seventh. So the sixth and seventh are not compulsory, maybe not on this planet, as are the earlier five, and it serves no purpose to enlarge upon his work. So basically, DK is taking this as far as the fifth initiation. Well, it's beyond us, of course, and saying there's not so much purpose in enlarging upon the sixth and seventh, but in the book, The Rays and the Initiations, he enlarges sufficiently for us to get some kind of idea. These initiations, I suppose sixth and seventh, are taken upon the Buddhic and the Atmic planes, whereas the first five are taken upon the mental. And yet, I have to say, and yet there is a strong, oh, could I spell, Buddhic influence in the fourth initiation and a strong Atmic influence in the fifth. So, fifth initiation. Okay, and let's make sure that those are added to the dictionary. I don't know whether or not. So, the fourth degree initiate has a polarization upon the Buddhic plane. Now, maybe there is some, if the five initiations are taken upon the mental plane, I don't know. We have to say, are initiations our initiations four and five taken upon the atomic subplane of the mental plane, yet the causal body is destroyed when it is on the second subplane. So that seems to indicate that the fourth initiation is taken on the, well, it has to be an influence on the second subplane, and maybe the fifth initiation involves the first subplane. But there is definitely entry into the triad as far as points of tension held. And when you're an arhat of the fourth degree, there will be a point of tension held on the on the Buddhic plane, and when you are a master of the fifth degree, there will be a point of tension held on the Atmic, though you will not be the complete master of the Atmic or even of the Buddhic. Our mastery is of the lower worlds, DK tells us, and our new environments are polarization within the Buddhic and the Atmic planes, and not until we are a six-degree initiate, a real Chohan, is our point of tension sustained within the monadic vehicle, even though we can be subject to its influence before that. Okay, what about Libra and the first initiation? Electrical phenomena are scientifically recognized as dual in nature, but the inherent triplicity of electricity is but yet a matter for speculation for modern science. And this is the, what can I call it, the neutral electricity. So it's neither positive nor negative, but some sort of balancing type. The fact that it is triple is demonstrated to the initiate at the first initiation, in which Libra and the sacral center are both involved, which Libra and Uranus, as the ruler of Libra and the ruler of the sacral center. Oh, God. There's got to be a way to do this. Okay, a Libra and the ruler of the sacral center is involved. Yeah. I mean, Uranus is the great transmutative agent in its seventh ray guise. Maybe later in its first ray guise, it's really the home of electric fire and all kinds of higher possibilities. But at first, it does help to raise the energy of the sacral center to the throat, where it also, I think, begins to rule, at least the seventh ray begins to rule at the throat at a certain stage, probably around the first degree, at least partially. It's shown at the first initiation, the triple nature of electricity, and the secret of how to balance forces on the physical plane and thereby produce equilibrium is revealed at the first initiation. Now that really, that has to be a signal that the energy of Libra is involved for sure. Okay. Well, you know, all these, as I've often said, you can use any sign of the zodiac and maybe any planet to contribute to any initiation in some way, although certain signs are more involved with certain initiations than others, and certain planets too. I mean, you know, we have Leo with the first initiation, Scorpio with the second, and Capricorn with the third, even though they are involved in all the initiations in ways that can be understood. And I've gone into that in my book, video book on the egoic lotus, petal by petal, initiation by initiation. So no use to repeat that right here, although I do tend to be the kind of person that does repeat things, I guess you could say. Right. Okay, the path entrance of the path, I think we've dealt with that. This covers the period of evolution up to the first initiation or their entrance upon the path. That's it. No equivocation there. Entrance upon the path at the first initiation and thus into the spiritual kingdom. So the real path, the true path, and who's really on the path, it has to do with the first initiation. As far as selfishness goes, it's very much of a Martian quality. Mars rules all the vehicles of the personality, maybe except for the etheric body, which is more Vulcanian in nature, I guess, and certainly Mercurian and Uranian and so forth. But Mars is the planet of selfishness, and it rules the entire personality as well as those vehicles. And a major blow is struck there. Venus really does begin to overcome Mars at the second initiation. Yeah. He has, through his willingness to pass through the second initiation, struck the first blow at his, he can't help it, at his innate selfishness. It's a stage we all have to go through in order to I think, preserve the vehicles and build them up in a certain foundational way, and has demonstrated his determination to think in wider and more inclusive terms. And if that, you know, that's really, let's call it Jupiter and Neptune, both of which are planets of the second initiation. And certainly when we talk about breadth and inclusiveness, wideness, these planets are involved. The group then begins to mean more to him than his personal self, his lower self. Now test yourself, you know, test yourself right there. Does the group, and I'll test myself too, you know, does the group mean more to you than your personal self, you know? It's a little meditation, you know, but maybe it all begins with the family and it's instinctual and has something to do even with the animal nature and the parent animal, especially the mother, protecting the offspring, oftentimes at the sacrifice of her own life. It seems to be inherent in the building up of nature. And by the time we reach man, it's still instinctual, but it's in the family, it's in the near group, it's in the nation, see. It's patriotism. The city-state in the beginning, not just the whole nation, the city-state. What means more to you, your own individual life or the object of your patriotism? The father country, the mother country, eventually your whole nation. And eventually, as the higher initiations are reached, humanity as a whole. You know, the Christ, Jesus, sacrificing for the sake of humanity. And that's what every initiate has to go through. And some of us maybe realize what that's all about, and it may lie ahead. But we begin to realize, you know, realization's an amazing thing. The veils begin to lift, the scales begin to fall from the eyes. You didn't even know there were scales there. You thought you saw with utter clarity, and then the scales fall away, and then you really see with clarity. And on, the scales fall away until the ultimate consciousness in cosmos is reached, which is but an infinitesimal compared with absolute consciousness in the post-universal world. Okay, so what is this about? Heart and throat centers are vivified at the first and second initiations. All right. Well, when the world teacher initiates at the first and second initiations, the direction of the triadal force. Now notice what's going through the rod there. The triadal force is going through the rod. This type of force is passed through the rod, ROI, and let me just put in an ROI here, and ROI, how about that? Let me try this. Oh, I guess that's going to be it. Through the rod of initiation. Through the rod of initiation. Okay. Yeah, and so respectively, the heart and the throat centers at these first two initiations are vivified, and they, in their position of synthesizing the lower. But now let's remember, when it comes to the first initiation, there's a big transference going on between the sacral and the throat. So the throat is receiving stimulation, even though maybe it's the heart that is receiving the application of energy. And the heart center stimulation is not absent from the second degree, because the love energy, the buddhi, is really beginning to enter the astral body via Venus, Jupiter, Neptune, and yes, you develop mental illumination and spiritual intelligence, which suggests the third degree, a third center, the throat center at the second degree, but the heart is not missing. So at the first degree, the throat and sacral are not missing, and at the second degree, the heart is not missing, even though the emphasis seems to be placed otherwise in this reference. Now, here are here's another one of those, definitions of what it takes to go through the first degree. The birth initiation lies behind in the experience of many, and this is factually proved. Okay, this is really important because we've got to add that to the other qualifications. DK tells us about what the qualifications are in different places, and if we add them all together, we'll really see what it takes to take that first degree and not be presumptuous about it. The birth initiation lies behind in the experience of many, and this is factually proved by the lives of those who are consciously and willing oriented, consciously and willingly oriented towards the light, who see a wider world than that of their own selfish interests, even though, let's say, selfishness is more killed off at the second, who are sensitive to the Christ life and to the spiritual consciousness of their fellow men, and who see an horizon and vistas of contact unperceived by the average man. So we haven't mentioned these, and these particular perspectives should be added to the others. And I would kind of want to do that if I possibly can. So this is page 37, and if I do this and say that this is okay, discipline, beauty, beauty, one result. There it is. All those who truly love their fellow men, who are interested in the esoteric teaching or spiritual teaching, I would say, and who seek to discipline themselves in order to attain greater beauty of life, have undergone the first. And here's some more requirements down here. Struggling to grow into the spiritual life, following the determined orientation of the way, to the way of the spirit, things of the spirit, and who live by that, the light of that spirit. That's the first degree too. And now let's add this one. Gosh, I forget. Page to be determined. The birth initiation lies behind. Let's see if I can just kind of find that here. And oops, sorry. No. The birth initiation lies behind. And what page would that be? It's going to be page 665. Okay. R&I 665. So we begin to accumulate, do we not, the various requirements for this first initiation. And we discover that it's not necessarily so easy, you know. So this is 37, and this is where we are. And, I'm trying to hang out here and finish this on number 13. It'll be longer than 1 hour, but not too much longer. These people, undergoing the first initiation, what about them? They realize a possible spiritual achievement unknown and undesired by those whose lives are conditioned entirely by either the emotions or the lower concrete mind. At this stage of unfoldment, they have a sense of conscious dualism. So, they've entered the hall of learning where the higher duality and the lower duality are presented to them. knowing the fact of the existence of something other than the phenomenal. You know, in the 12-step programs, they talk about the higher power, something other than the phenomenal emotional and mental self. Yeah, okay, 665 and 666 in raised and initiations. What we're doing, let's just say, is accumulating the different requirements. And, you know, we see how Master DK talks about them in various ways. So, but strangely here, man is considered as an animal. Well, you know, he hasn't overcome Mars. Man is considered as an animal when passing through the first three initiations. Isn't that interesting? So let me just kind of make that blue as I try to do so it stands out a little bit. And why is this? You know, because Mars has not been conquered. But at the third degree, it is conquered by Vulcan. Cain kills Abel. Vulcan kills Abel, the shepherd. The shepherd watches over sheep, and sheep are ruled by Aries, and Aries is ruled by Mars. Okay, so there's the line of connection. It must never be forgotten that the chain process of individualization and the earlier three initiations concern the animal kingdom, and man is viewed therein as an animal. The earlier three initiations, that the chain process of individualization? Well, are we talking about individualization on the moon chain, which was very different? Animal man reached out to the higher aspect of himself, maybe inchoately, not knowing what he was doing. And that higher aspect responded. Okay. But anyway, Mars is involved. Mars is the personality. And we don't really overcome the ancient authority of the personality until the third degree. So even passing through, we have a big battle with Mars. We have a battle with Mars at the second degree. We have a battle with Mars at the first degree. And finally, when we win that battle, ultimately at the third degree, maybe we are a human being at last. So let's say what's happening here? Okay. How did that happen? Okay, I'm sorry. Selfishness. Where are we? Okay, by Vulcan. Okay, so we're somewhere. Okay, so let's just say that the animal of Mars is overcome at the third degree, and we at last are a true human being, and not until then, really an animal, considered at least by the hierarchy, until we have overcome our Mars. So Mars is very useful, but okay. So I looked at this before, and is that it? Can't be, is it? Okay. Well, it looks like it. All right. Well, friends, there are a lot of references here, and as you know, in this particular case, they are not in sequence. They are simply, as I've listed in my AAB extracts, and I say again that with the help of my colleague who manages so much, I hope to have these Alice Bailey AAB extracts available for you because you'll be able to do a lot of research. Why do research? Well, when you see how things are linked together, it's a step towards developing pure reason. Or inclusive reason, and inclusive reason is a quality of the Buddhic plane, and it shows that we're beginning to release ourselves from the dense physical body of the planetary logos and even of the solar logos. I've always troubled myself, you know, is the dense physical body of the planetary logos the lower 18 subplanes, or does it also include the higher three? I don't know exactly, but certainly the dense physical body of the solar logos is the lower 21 subplanes, and with the fourth initiation, we really do release ourselves from the dense physical body of the solar logos, and of course also from the planetary logos, because the causal body is destroyed. There's some kind of etheric appellation we might be able to apply to the higher three mental subplanes with regard to the planetary logos. Things are relative, and what is the a dense plane for one might be an etheric plane for another. Anyway, we have worked. This is number 13. Probably there are other, a few other references, maybe, in the books about the first initiation, but we certainly have enough in these 13 to think seriously about the quality of this initiation, who has taken it, who has not, what we have to do to prepare to take this initiation, to regard it with respect, because it is not a low initiation by any means, and we can't just say, oh yeah, the first initiation, everybody's taken that. Not when one of the very loyal and fervid and financially supportive helpers of Master DK had not yet taken it. So just because we have an interest in these things, if we don't fulfill the requirements, we're not going to take it. And a love for our fellow men is a big one, a real disciplined life, and just, you know, reaching out for the light, reaching out for the higher things, a real study, a real interest in that which is apparently invisible, but our faith tells us that it is real. And, you know, we do have evidence from the faith itself. We cannot do without faith. Faith is not just blind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, look, number 12 will be up shortly when I've straightened out or seen straightened out a little difficulty. my wife called me in the middle of it all, and I've somehow failed to put it on pause, you know, and then just, you know, extraneous things were happening. So we'll try to get rid of that. And I mean, you know, life is not perfect, and these presentations are not perfect, and I'm being rather spontaneous with you, you know, stream of consciousness, what comes to my mind, the associations that come to my mind, sharing them with you. And of course, you need to study. I need to study. We all need to study. I guess that's a second-rate bias. We all need to study, whatever ray we may be on. Maybe our emphasis is different. But through meditation, you know, it's the first-rate part. Study is the second-rate part, and service is the third-rate part. Through meditation and study and service, we will succeed, and we will make ourselves fit to help with the manifestation of the divine plan. Okay, friends, now I don't know what I'm going to go on to next. I think I may have done enough on the fourth initiation and the fifth in the video commentary part of the second part of Rays and the Initiations, which you can find on Makara. And that may be enough. I mean, I think it probably is. And I have this desire to finish A Treatise on White Magic. I've gone as far as the mental rules, but the other rules are even longer and maybe more intricate, and I've already done 50 programs on the introduction and the mental rules. So a lot more programs will be forthcoming in A Treatise on White Magic, which is one of those treatises which really needs to be studied by all of us, because basically it's a treatise on the control of the astral body. And don't we all need that still, you know, I would say. I have yet to meet the disciple, whatever his or her claims may be, who really has control over the astral body. And it's the most formidable that we're going to meet on this planet and in this solar system. So, okay, that'll be it for the moment. This is no, you know, this is more than an hour program, but okay. Something happened with the chronometer, and I'll just say, come back. We have more to do. Try to stick with these programs for longer than 10 minutes, if you can stand it. And lots of love to everybody, and we'll be talking to you soon. Okay, all the best. Bye bye.